Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
You can't get away from it. They're drawing the noose tighter and tighter around Harry Palmer's neck. And yesterday afternoon, when they had him in the box, gave him a hand by pitching a ridiculous tale about Angela Tennant trapping him into this position because he wouldn't marry her. Good Lord. How could he ever expect anyone to believe that? But even so, there's more to this affair than meets the eye. Certainly more than has come out in the evidence. Marcia knows something. She had a special delivery letter from Angela Tennant 8 or 9 days after Angela's death, if you remember. But what was in it, she wouldn't tell me. So I'm faced with a pretty horrible conclusion. That Marcia's hiding something that might benefit Harry Palmer. And as little love as I bear for that character, I just can't sit by and do nothing while they let Palmer hang. I've had it up with Marcia twice already. Well, here goes for a third try. This morning at her place before she leaves for the court.
Jeff, instead of getting furious with me, just answer me a question, will you? Do you think I'd do anything to help Harry Palmer?
No, I don't suppose so.
Or do you think I'd keep quiet and let them convict him if I knew he was innocent?
What the devil am I to think, Marcia? In your own office the other day, you'd lied like a trooper to Palmer's lawyer, Ahrens. Said you didn't know who'd been Angela's doctor, and you said she'd been in perfect health. Two barefaced lies.
Jeff, it'd be nice if you'd trust me.
I have good reasons not to, my dear.
That was a long time ago. It was when I was the biggest little fool you ever married. Be generous enough not to drag it up, Jeff.
All right, I won't. But under circumstances like these, you're asking a lot.
When Stella had Angela Tennant's diary, and I promised Palmer he wouldn't be prosecuted, it was because I wanted to show Stella up to you. I can see now I was wrong. So very, very wrong. But it's not like that now, Jeff. I give you my word it's not.
Then what is it like?
It's no good. I won't tell you.
But that's what I can't understand. If what you're doing is so innocent, why in the name of fortune can't you tell me?
Because this is something I have to do myself, Jeff. Oh, believe me, please.
Heavens knows I'd like to. Listen, Marcia, I'll give you till tonight. If you don't tell me what's in that letter of Angela's by tonight, I'm going to Inspector James.
Oh, no. No, Jeff, please, you mustn't do that.
But I'm going to. So you'd better make up your mind to it. I'm sorry to be at odds with you over this, Marcia, but it's your own fault. I don't know why you can't come into the open.
Are you going now?
I promised to pick Stella up at 10 sharp.
Oh. Oh, well, I might see you at court.
You're almost bound to. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, Jeff. So, he's going to Inspector James if I don't tell him tonight. Well, I'll be able to, if the jury retires today. Any time today.
You may as well tell me the worst, Evans. Have we a chance?
Don't drop your bundle before the case is over, men. Of course you have a chance.
Yes, but what sort of a one?
Slim? I'm not going to fool you along. It's the best I can say. Slim. But we've still asked our witness to call.
After yesterday, after that fellow tricked me up on the stand,
no, that was yesterday. After they've heard this man of ours, there's still a fair chance I could make the jury believe she might have committed suicide. I only have to plant a doubt, Palmer. They won't convict you unless they have no reasonable doubt. And the judge is bound to point that out to them before they retire. Now, are you sure you're all right?
I'll be all right up there in the dock.
We'll see that you are, because this is the last day and every little helps. Remember that, Palmer. No outbursts, no show of emotion. Today, every little will help.
If it please the court, I call the only witness for the defense, Dr. Harvey Johnston Bennett.
Call Dr. Harvey Johnston Bennett.
Hello, who the deuce is Dr. Bennett? And there's... Why, of course. This is the chap who was looking after Angela Tennant. The doctor, Marcia, told Aaron she didn't know. And where in the dickens does he fit into the scheme of things? So Aaron's found him.
Your name is Harvey Johnston Bennett.
It is.
You're the heart specialist, Doctor.
That is correct.
Was the deceased Mrs. Angela Tennant a patient of yours?
She was.
In the last 2 or 3 weeks before her death, Doctor, what was the state of Mrs. Tennant's health?
Mrs. Tennant was in very poor health. She was very seriously ill.
Will you tell the court, please, just what was the nature of Mrs. Tennant's illness?
She suffered from acute angina pectoris, a fatal heart complaint. Her condition was aggravated by her mode of life, which she made no attempt to modify.
Did you advise her to put herself under your care in a hospital?
That is correct.
She refused?
Yes.
What reasons did she give?
She couldn't afford the expense. She said she refused to eke out her existence, to prolong her life by a few months if it meant spending her time in a charity ward.
Doctor, in your opinion, how long did Mrs. Tennant have to live the last time she consulted you?
Under proper medical care and supervision? 1 year? Perhaps more. Pursuing the life she did, I can give no accurate estimate. But a fatal attack could occur at any time, and I warned her that our life hung on a thread.
So it is correct to say that living as Mrs. Tennant insisted on doing, she had no expectation of life, whatever.
No specific expectation, yes.
In these circumstances, then, would you say it was likely that the deceased would decide to end her life, since there was no particular point in trying to prolong it?
That question, Mr. Aarons, I cannot permit.
Very well, Your Honor. Dr. Bennett, did Mrs. Tennant at any time at all, insinuate to you that she may have contemplated putting an end to her own life?
I'm afraid that is a question I cannot answer either.
Why not?
But it involved putting instruction on the ambiguous remark of my patients. That I am not prepared to do.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett. That is all.
This is where it begins to tell.
And so...
I'm summing up.
Gentlemen of the jury.
Aaron sums up first, you know, then the prosecutor, then, of course, his honor. And you have to hand it to him. Aarons is making a surprisingly good case for Palmer out of the pitiful scraps of evidence he has to work with. He's been talking for 85 minutes by my watch. It sounds as though he's getting near the end of his address now.
This crime of unparalleled stupidity. There has been nothing to show that he knew of the sleeping tablets. And yet, you are asked to believe that in the space of a few minutes, he seized on them, persuaded the deceased to consume 15 of them, bitter and acrid to the taste, and then left her apartment without even taking the most elementary precautions. While it may seem incredible that an innocent man should fall into this trap, bear in your minds how easily such a trap could be sprung, and how only an innocent man could be its victim. And gentlemen, let this take precedence in your minds when you retire. The malice of an embittered woman knows no bounds. An embittered woman with a short time or no time to live. Do not let yourselves be the instruments of her evil design. I have confidence in you, gentlemen. I have confidence that you will find my client not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
How long have the jury been out now?
An hour and a half, Palmer. And you'll have to stick it out. It'll be touch and go.
Listen, Aarons, listen. Suppose the worst comes to the worst. Will I be able to appeal?
You'd be wasting your time. You've had a good trial. The prosecution could have made it far stronger. But they relied on their prima facie evidence. Take it quietly.
They bet on it, don't they? The courtroom attendance and so on.
Yes, they bet on the result.
What's the betting on me?
You'd better take it quietly. Never mind the betting. They're wrong sometimes.
I want to know. What are they betting on my acquittal?
All right. 10-1 against. But they can be wrong.
10-1 against. They know. They see too many juries. They know how it goes.
Palmer, you have to keep a grip on yourself. This is the worst possible thing.
I knew. Hour after hour, waiting.
I'll see you a minute, Mr. Earle. Are you? Can it be arranged? All right, officer. Hang on a minute, will you?
Palmer, you have a visitor. You can see her or not, just as you like. She wants to see you in private.
She? Who is it?
Now, just a minute. She insists on talking to you alone. But you'll have to be watched by the officer here. Do you want to see her?
But who is it? You can tell me who it is, can't you?
It's Mrs. Marcia Pilgrim.
Marcia? Marcia wants to see me? What does she want? Why should Marcia come to see me in the cells while a jury decides whether I hang or not? Oh, but what have I to lose? Yes, I'll see you, Marcia. But if you want me to come clean about Jeff and the swindle, oh no. Not me. Not now, nor at any time. Never!
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.